Our scripture for this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, and also a couple of verses in the next chapter, chapter 44, verses 22 and 23. Isaiah shares these words, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and will be glorified in Israel. We've been, during this time of Lent, been looking at the gifts of Easter. A lot of that came through a Bible study we did last year, I think it was around Easter time, based on Max Lucado's book, He Chose the Nails, and it was an interesting Bible study. And as we came to this Lent time of Lent, I thought it would be an opportunity to share about some of those gifts that Max talks about. And so we have been sharing during this Lent time. This is our final Sunday. The Palm Sunday is the last Sunday of the six Sundays of Lent. And so we've been sharing all through this time. And if we include today, half of our time was together during Lent, and half of our time was in this connected process that we're doing today. But we talked about the crown of thorns and how those thorns upon Jesus placed on his head, and how those were big old thorns that pierced into his scalp and caused pain, and how that was our sin that was piercing him. We talked about the nails, or I would almost call them spikes, but the big old things that they drove into the hands and to the feet of those that were crucified, and how Jesus, as he looked over and watched the Roman soldier get ready to nail that into his hand, that he's looking at the hand of God that could have stopped that, but he chose to do that for us, a gift to us during this Easter time. He exchanged his seamless garment. The soldiers stripped him down to nakedness, and he took on that nakedness and the penalty of our sin and all the excruciating pain that caused on his physical body and spiritually as well, and provides to us his seamless, perfect garment of righteousness. And so it's a wonderful gift that we're getting here at this Easter time. And just the cross itself, just basically two pieces of wood that are strapped together and a human being then nailed to it, and that Roman form of execution that becomes such a beautiful, special gift to us here at Easter time. And last week we talked about the wonderful gift of an empty tomb. The tomb is empty because Jesus has arisen. And so as we come into our time today, as we come at the cross, thinking about all those gifts, and there's other things that happened to Jesus there on the cross, the question comes, well, what can we do as we're standing there at the base of the cross, as we're thinking about these gifts that Jesus has provided for us and God the Father did through Jesus? What are some things that we can do? What do we leave at the cross in response would be one thing that we can do. And Max talks about a few things in his book about that. But we can leave bad moments at the cross because Jesus died for our sin. He died for all of those bad moments. And in our Isaiah scripture that we read earlier, they're forever gone as far as God is concerned. He remembers them no more. I heard a story many, many years ago on the radio, and I forget who the speaker even was, but it was such an illustrative story that, you know, Jesus took all of our sin, and if you think of that sin as garbage, and certainly garbage is typically bad, and shoved that into a plastic garbage bag It would have to be, you know, a 3-ply hefty top of the line, because we'd have to put so much sin in there and it would bulge. And then it was nailed to the cross. And yet so many times, and too many times, you and I as Christians will take that back off the cross, or we'll take part of that garbage out and keep carrying it with us. But Jesus died that we might leave the bad moments at the cross. And so I encourage each of us to do that as we are at the cross. We can leave our mad moments. He can transform, Jesus can. He can transform those moments in our lives. Rather than being bitter at people, we can learn to bless and serve them. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about we shouldn't return evil with evil. We really should learn how to live at peace as best we can with everyone. And even to the point, Paul says, to feed our enemies, and if our enemy is thirsty, to give them something to drink. And certainly we can leave our mad moments at the cross. We can leave our anxious moments, and certainly in this day and time, there's perhaps many more of those coming into some of our lives than perhaps previously. But Jesus will receive all of our anxious moments, and we have the promise of Scripture that in exchange for that, he can give us that inner peace. And Paul told the Philippians, you know, just to not be anxious and be continuously praying to the Lord and cast all your requests to him. Peter echoes that as well. He says, cast all that anxiety on God, because he cares for you and he's willing to receive that, just to give that to him. And so that's something we can leave at the cross as well. And we can also leave our final moments at the cross. Jesus defeated death at the cross. And so we can leave those final moments in his hands. Unless he comes in the second coming, beforehand, it's a final moment that we'll all face at some point. But because Jesus defeated it, we can leave those final moments at the cross. You know, when Lazarus passed away and Jesus had tarried for a little while because he knew he was going to be able to bring Lazarus back to life and bring glory to God in doing that. But Martha was talking with him and concerned when he finally arrived at Bethany. And as they were speaking, he said, you know, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will live even though he dies. And that's something for us to always remember. And so we can leave our final moments at the cross as we think about all these gifts that Jesus has done for us. And as we think about that, then the question is, if we leave our bad moments and our mad moments and our anxious moments and our final moments at the cross, how will our lives be different when we do that? I think we'll find that there's opportunities and things to move on and do other things and exciting things that God empowers us to do when we just leave all those kind of things at the cross. And the reason that Jesus died is so that he could take them upon him. What else do we leave at the cross? We can leave the wrong way we see some things sometimes. And as we've been going through this gift, perhaps your thought process or some of the things that you've thought about have changed maybe the way you've been seeing some things. But we can see things differently about God and ourselves and others and even life itself. And so we can see God as loving and inviting. He's certainly that's how he wants us to feel like he's approaching us and us approaching him. He is loving and inviting. Too many, even Christians, live in fear that God's sitting there waiting he's up in heaven somewhere, and he's got more technology than any of us, and he sees everything we do, and he's just waiting for us to do something bad, and zap, he's going to get us. That's not what God is about. He is loving and inviting. John 3:16 that we all have heard about talks about Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only son. But verse 17, right beyond that, he said, and he sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save it. That's what God wanted to do through Jesus. That's what he does at the cross, is that he wants to save the world. And the writer of Hebrews said that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We can also see ourselves in a different way, that we are truly loved and pursued. We're deeply loved by God. We're deeply being fiercely being pursued by God. And some of us would remember the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and he was short of stature, and he climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. And there's a little kid's song about that as well. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. At the end of that story that we read about in Luke, Jesus was sharing with Zacchaeus and those around him. He said, you know, I came to seek and to save the lost. That's God's desire. That's what God wants to do, is to save mankind from their sin. And that's his desire, to get out there and to get that message through the church, that we are deeply loved and fiercely pursued by a God who sent his son Jesus to die for us. We can also see others as God sees them. It wasn't just to those who grew up in the church that Jesus was sent. It's God so loved the world, and whosoever, there in John 3:16. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, in chapter 2, John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus approaching him, said to the crowd around him, said, look, there's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And the Apostle John, in one of his letters, said the same thing, that he came to take care of not only just our sins, but the sins of the entire world. And so we can see others as God sees them, as people who need to be saved, who need to know about Jesus, who need to know that they are deeply loved and fiercely pursued as well. And finally, we can look at life, even in the midst of tragedies, in a bigger picture, that it's all part of God's grand story. Romans 8:28, many of us have heard that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Some of you may recall in the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 50, Joseph is talking with his brothers, and they're upset that they had did what they did, and they had sold him off to Egypt. And most of us know the story of how he was able then to rise in the ranks and was second to Pharaoh, and was able to have storage of food and things during good times, and then there was plenty of food for everyone during the time of famine. And that's when his brothers came across him as well. But Joseph, in chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 20, said, what you meant for harm, God turned to good, so that many lives would be saved. So, some other things there than to leave at the cross and just have a different perspective on our relationship with God and who he is and his interaction not only with us but with the world as well. Max writes, and I shared part of this last week as well, Max writes, how do we explain the impact of Jesus on this world? Jesus was a backwater peasant. He never wrote a book, never held an office. He never journeyed more than 200 miles from his hometown. Friends left him. One betrayed him. Those he helped forgot him. Prior to his death, they abandoned him. But after his death, they couldn't resist him. What made the difference? Max ends that quote. What made the difference? When Jesus died, so did your sin. When Jesus rose, so did your hope. And that's the old story of Jesus and his love. As we think about those gifts that we've talked about during this time of Lent, and there's certainly other things that happened there on the cross where Jesus died. As we stand there at the foot of the cross and just appreciate those gifts that he provided to us, it turns into a great story of Easter and all its gifts that we can share with the world. We can just share with those around us, with our friends and family, and just some just to remind them of the old story. Some may hear, while it's an old story to us, it's a new story, and perhaps they hear it in a new way, to be able to just share with them about Jesus and the gifts that he gave to us by dying on the cross for us. And then the empty grave on that first Easter that we're going to celebrate next Sunday together.